This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Thank you, Lord. God, as we are still, we know that you are God, Lord. And every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that you are Lord. God, we thank you, Lord, for the cross. You've paid the price for us, Lord, that we can have life, an abundant life, Lord. Thank you for the victory, Lord. Thank you for the blood, Lord God. Thank you that you loved us so much that you gave your Son, Lord, that whoever believes in him will have eternal life. Thank you that we can trust in you, Lord, because you are faithful. You are good. You are full of mercy, Lord. Your steadfast love endures forever. You are a just God, Lord. You are righteous in all that you do, Lord. You are holy. And the heavens sing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. We surrender to you this morning. Because we know you're a good, good Father, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You may be seated. Thank you very much for being here this morning. Thank you very much, band. I'm glad you were late this morning because there was such an anointing on you. Thank you very much. I don't know if you're aware, but more than a million people came together in the Orange Free State, in the capital of the Free State in Bloemfontein yesterday, to pray together. And Philip is very aware of it because his wife left him with his two boys yesterday, and I could see the panic in his eyes next to the sports field. I'm just joking with you, Philip, but it's difficult when our wives leave us alone. But so many of our friends went to the Free State to go and pray together. And it was so amazing for me how God spoke yesterday, even with us when we pray together, because Vincent Alabek is there, and he sent the scripture, and his wife, Cerise, shared the same scripture during our intercession. Now, I just want to share it with you, and this was the theme that Angus Bachan also preached on, but I'm just going to read a little bit more of it. It's Isaiah 66, verse 7. Before she was in labor, she gave birth. Before her pain came upon her, she delivered a son. Who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such a thing? Shall a land be born in one day? Shall a nation be brought forth in one moment? For as soon as Zion was in labor, she brought forth her children. Shall I bring to the point of birth and not cause to bring forth, says the Lord? Shall I, who cause to bring forth, shut the womb, says the Lord. Rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad for her. All you who love her, rejoice with her in joy. All you who mourn over her, that you may nurse and be satisfied from her counseling breast, that you may drink deeply and delight from her glorious abundance. For thus says the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the nations like an overflowing stream. And you shall nurse and you shall be carried upon help. And you can just read the rest. And then this morning, Vincent sent another very interesting WhatsApp that today, or this year, April, is 365 years after Jan van Riebeeck came to South Africa to bring the gospel to the people of this land. And if you, and according to this thing, if you take three, it's a number of God, for God the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Six is to do with sin and worldly things. And then five is grace, God's grace. But it's the same month, I think it's 16 April, that Jan van Riebeeck came. So, huh? 6 April, okay. But it's the same month, it's very close. So that is amazing. I really believe God is doing something amazing in our country. you can feel the presence. Even yesterday as we walked in there, I could feel God's presence in such an amazing way. It was really, thank you for everyone that came to pray with me. And I think you can agree, God's presence was so amazingly there. Then what came from that as well was the one, basically all the words came from an orphan heart. People who have been hurt in family. And I realized that this message that I was bringing, that God was speaking to us as well, is so timely for what God is wanting to do. He wants to bring healing. Now, Lynette and I went to LL Ministries in Pretoria, and we spent time with them, and we had time to pray a lot. And then they will take us, and they'll give us some words, and then we'll go and pray again, and cry. And God just did amazing work in us. They gave me a book, From Spiritual Slavery to Sonship, from Jack Frost. And it opened my eyes to something that I think many people in this generation struggles with. It is a place of being children of God, to walk into sonship. So what I saw is that there's an orphan spirit or an orphan thinking that people receive because of rejection. And rejection is when we are disappointed when we are small. And what I see mostly is in the counseling that I'm doing, almost everyone, there's an absent father or a mother that didn't nurture, or both. And people get injured as children, and it causes them to reject the authority in their life. And their whole life, they get set up for disappointments, for destruction. And you don't understand why this is happening. There's always something going against you. You do not understand why it's happening. But I believe it happened when we were children. And I will show you as well, as we grow up, that what happens in our lives is many times the cause of when we were children and what happened to us. And what I want to say from the beginning is, I believe all of our parents really tried their best. They all tried to do the right thing. They worked hard. They tried to give us the best, but they could only give to us what they have received themselves. So when a parent was rejected, it's difficult to not reject your children, because rejected people will reject other people. And I'll show you as well where rejection works against us. So I want to just start with Esau that was rejected. Esau's brother was Jacob. His father was Isaac, and his mother was Rebekah. Isaac was the son of Abram, and they were twins. The mother had this, there was this fight in her womb, the two children, when they got born. Rebekah loved Jacob, and Isaac loved Esau. So there was division between them, and I believe it caused them to feel rejected, both. I believe both struggled with rejection, and rejection, I realize, sits in our generations. It will be generationally given over. So if, and I'll show you as well, is if a child was born out of wedlock, that child will grow up and have a child, and that child of the orphan kid would have rejection as well, not knowing where it comes from, because he received it from a father or mother that was born out of wedlock. And so the cycle will continue going on. So Hebrews 12, verse 15 to 17 says, "See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, the goodness of God, the mercy of God, the love of God, that no root of bitterness spring up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled." So this root of bitterness, it's anger, it's unforgiveness, it causes trouble, and many, many are defiled by it. "See that no one is sexually immoral or unholy, like Esau, who sold his birthright for a single meal. For you know that afterward, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no chance to repent, though he sought it with tears." It's only for me, my eyes are being opened to rejection and how rejection or the orphan spirit brings people to a point where they cannot see where they've been wrong. They will see what other people have done wrong against them, but in their own lives, they struggle to recognize where they are wrong to others, because it becomes, it's a very self-focused thing. Hebrews 12, also what I say, out of out of rejection causes sexual immorality. So I've always known that masturbation, the root is rejection. But I'm starting to realize that all sexual sin is really based from rejection. So when a person, and if you look at addictions as well, when a person has an addiction, this one man said to me, look at what the trigger was. What caused that person to fall again to drink or to take drugs? There are certain triggers. But I believe it's rejection. As soon as you get this huge disappointment in life, you go to whatever your poison is, if it's cigarettes or drinking or pornography or whatever it is. So it's rooted in that rejection. Hebrews 12 verse 8 in the beginning of this chapter says, if you are left without discipline in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. So here you get illegitimate children, orphans on the one side, and you have sons on the other side. But what causes that is discipline. It's the discipline of the Lord. So if you go without that discipline, you can become illegitimate. So discipline is love and instruction. Discipline is not being beaten up. That's not discipline. Discipline is love and instruction. And all children need love and approval. All of us need it. So when we don't get it growing up, we feel rejected. So our whole life, we will do things to try and perform so that someone can just say to you, well done, you've done well. So you might play golf, or you ride bicycle, or you go to the gym, or you just want, or you do ministry, or you become a person that look after the orphans, or whatever you do, but you do something that someone will tell you, well done. Because we all need it. We all need to be told, well done. Because the Father said to Jesus, well done, my good and faithful servant. We all need to be loved and approved. But Satan comes and he plants seeds of bitterness and rejection in our hearts as children. And then this rejection brings us to a sense of feeling unwanted, that no one wants me. So this, when we are rejected, it's hurtful and it's painful. And no one, this is an experience that nobody likes to go through. And I don't know if you've been going through rejection, but I believe all of us have gone through rejection in a way. Now, this is where I believe for us as parents, it's important that when our children go through rejection, that we can help them to instruct them that they are accepted by God, to have relationship with God, that their personality and their identity is in who God says they are and not what the people are saying they are. But when we ourselves as parents struggle, it's very difficult to help our children with that. And because there's rejection in our hearts, we reject our children. And then when our children rebel against us, we go, oh, now my children rejects me as well. So that pain for a parent when the child rejects them, it just makes the void bigger in our hearts against our parents. So we feel unwanted. And we grow up bitter and angry. This rejection, I see, opens a door to sexual immorality, addictions, and all those things that goes with it. So when there's rejection, you'll find self-accusation. Why did this happen? I'm not good enough. I didn't do that right. It will cause depression or perfectionism. I must always do the right thing and it must always be in order, and you overcompensate because you just want to come to a point where things look well. Then pride. Pride is I'm terrible, but not as bad as that one. So there comes a sense of pride in us, and people become prideful because they've been rejected. Fear of being alone, fear of being rejected, anxiety, indecision. And I always joke, I used to be indecisive, but I'm not sure anymore. But when we've gone through a lot of rejection, we cannot make decisions because we're afraid we're going to make the wrong decision and we're going to get rejected again. So we become indecisive, passive, lethargic. It's difficult for us to get up because we are almost afraid we're doing the wrong thing. But it's very subconscious. You don't realize it. Lust, the whole fantasy world and perversion that comes out of that place. Now, Isaac and Rebecca, I believe there was differences between them. They did not agree on the children. The one loved the one, the other one loved the other one. So I believe the house was divided. And a house divided against itself, the Bible says, cannot stand. So the more I'm seeing and I'm dealing with people, the more I realize that we're being set up for rejection by parents. And it could be a house where the father and mother fights all the time. And that makes the child feeling uncomfortable and feeling fear because they're afraid that they might be the cause or they're going to be thrown out of the house. If one of the parents is an alcoholic, that child will feel rejected because they didn't get the love that they needed from that parent. There could be abuse. There could be trauma in the house. If one child was very sick, the other child can have rejection because the parents will give all the attention to the one child. When there's divorce, all of that will add up to children feeling rejected. It can be even in the womb when the mother didn't want to be fall pregnant, she'd go, I don't want to be pregnant, but that child picks up rejection in the womb and they struggle with rejection as they grow up and they didn't know where it comes from, but it came from right there. When a child is born out of wedlock, those children struggle with acceptance their whole life. It's almost like that orphan spirit is upon them. So we grow up being self-centered, self-consuming, self-referential. We talk about ourselves all the time. So when people have been rejected, we will reject others because we don't want to be the first one to be rejected. We will always wonder if another person rejects us or they accept us. There's this need to fit in or to be accepted by others, and we want to be part of everything, even if it's not good for you. There's a tendency to blame God, self-pity, where a person feels bad themselves for being alone, and they're uncomfortable being alone. Then there's an inability to be corrected or to receive constructive criticism. You feel you just don't fit in. Pride says that, how dare they reject me? You always know when people are not happy with you. You pick it up immediately. There's opinionated personalities, and you always have to be right about things. You always tell how it is. There's a feeling of worthlessness and insecurity and hopelessness. And there's a fear of confrontation because you don't want to take a stand because you don't want to be rejected in that. And then some people become like a fixer. They always want to tell others what they're doing right in their wrong in their lives. So they're always telling other people, you mustn't do this, you mustn't do this, be careful for this. And you almost want to take the role of the Holy Spirit in other people's lives. So what I see is that rejection causes us to see the faults in parental authority. So this book, Jack Frost, he shares his life. He's been rejected. His father was a tennis player. He wanted him to play tennis. He didn't want to play tennis. He wanted to fish. All he wanted to do was to go out on these big trawler boats to go and fish. So some of his friends, their dads used to do it as well. So he would go early in the morning to go and sit on the trawler. He will wash the boat. And then the sons of that captain would come like 8 o'clock or 6 o'clock, whatever, and he would be there 2 hours before. He'll get on the boat, and then he will hope for an opportunity just to be taught how it works. But the whole industry with fishing is very secretive. This is our spot. This is where we get the fish. This time of the year, you must go to those spots. But that's where the money is. So you don't tell anyone. Apparently, you could walk into a bar and say, for 50,000 rand, I'll give you that man's spot. and people will pay it right there. They'll give you the cash because so much money was being made out of it. So his whole life he tried to perform and to work and to impress so that someone could give him a break. In that he struggled his life because no one did it. There was one man, however, who didn't have children. So he brought him in and he said to him, if you work hard on my worst boat as the first mate, I'll give you that opportunity. So he worked so hard that the man promoted him from there to his best boat. Then he said to him, I see so much potential in you. I will give you my whole fleet when I retire. Then this man realized he cannot retire because his wife got cancer. And this Jack Frost got upset because how dare he do it? He was so self-centered that he went to the opponent and started working for him, leaving this man all by himself. So he lost his inheritance because he had the orphan spirit in his heart. And the orphan spirit came because his parents abused and all of these things with him. Now his daughter is a teenager. She's very upset with him. And someone bullied her at school, but she doesn't want to speak to him. And eventually, after a long time, she opens up. And what happened? When she was 5 years old, she came running to him. She wanted to give him a hug. But as she came in for the hug, her knee went into his groin. He did this, and he threw her over his shoulder onto onto a couch, and he was lying there in pain. She picked up rejection. So she couldn't trust her dad. And this is this is what she went through. This rejection caused her to see faults in parental authority. Then she started losing basic trust in her parents. Then she feared receiving love from parents and others. Her spirit began to close to her family. She became independent. She started controlling her relationships. Her heart were hardened and she became bitter because she wanted to protect herself. She raised her wall and then she felt she had to earn her acceptance. And this is what I believe many of us have gone through because of rejection that we have gone in. And the theology of an orphan child would be the following. You get Matthew 22, that is, love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. And that's relationship. And then you get Matthew 28, it's go and make disciples of all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to uphold all. So when that is ministry, when that is more important, it's an orphan. If love God is more important, that's sonship. So, and it's a fine line because we say, go, make disciples, but does it come because we have relationship with God, or does it come because I want to perform so that people can say, well done, you have done great. You find your acceptance in what you are doing for God. And, you know, our true personality is revealed in our family relationships. It's my wife see who I am. Yeah, I can tell you exactly what you should hear. And then as soon as I get irritable, I walk away. But at home, you cannot walk away because they see exactly who you are. So in our families, our true selves will come to the front. So what I'm just experiencing is, what I'm seeing is that our relationship, identity, what we do should not be in what we do for God. It should be in who we are because we're just children of God. We should just accept that I'm a child of God, not of what I'm doing, but of who I am. Because only a son will inherit the promises of God. An orphan cannot inherit. What happens when we are rejected? There's an inward manifestation of rejection. It is fear, anxiety, depression. And it can be sickness because we suppressed all the feelings. We don't want to talk about it. Then we get anxious and we have high blood pressure and all these things that goes with that. People can get a stroke. But I believe it's because of fear. And if you've gone through trauma as a child and you've not dealt with it, I believe one can get sick out of that. That's the inward manifestation of what rejection will cause to you. And then you come to a point where you just, I'm not going to be the victim. And sense of pride comes in your heart. I'm better than this one or that one. And I believe this is where the source of pride is. It comes from rejection. Then there's a root of bitterness that comes out of that. I cannot forgive because Johan did this against me. I'm so upset with Johan. Can you believe what Johan did? I can't believe it. I'm so upset. Why? You know, so it's very, you can't forgive. You can't forgive. And your heart becomes bitter. And that causes the outward manifestation of rejection, which is rebellion. And then we start drinking and sexual immorality, all the addictions and all of the perversions and then occultic and all the drugs that goes with it is an outward manifestation of rejection. But what I've realized is, and you know, this is, maybe you can identify with it. Sometimes things go well in an area of your life. You just see amazing blessing. But there's an area of your life that just doesn't work. There's always a backlash. I don't know if anyone can identify with me in that, but it's you take shots and you pray and it's the devil and you are so upset with the devil. And you know, we many times go around our house and we anoint it and we anoint the inside, but the devil is so active. You know, when I started with the deliverance ministry, we had this beautiful cat, Princess. She used to sleep in our bed. Then I'll wake up and I say, hello, Princess. And my vrou say, hello, Lief. And I'm like, oh, hello, Lynette. And then she sees for you. That Princess was in our bed. Oh, I loved her so much. But anyway, the crows wanted to come and pick up my cat. And Lynette said, never, you're not doing that again. This is, you know, so I stopped doing it at home. But I realized there's no more crows attacking my cats. It just stopped. But something in here stopped. So you can anoint the house, but there's something here that needs to be fixed. And this is what I realized in my life. And I'm busy in the process where I'm allowing, asking God to make whole the stuff that is in here. Because the scripture that I got, whatever you sow, you will reap. So if we sow a critical spirit, we will reap critical. If we sow judgment, we will reap judgment. If we sow unforgiveness, and I want to add to what Heinrich was preaching, I think it's so profound what he preached last week. When we sow unforgiveness, we reap unforgiveness. So the things that we sow is the things that we reap. So when we are upset, and Luke 6, verse 37 and 38 says, judge not. Because, you know, what I realized, we give a key to the enemy. When we walk in righteousness before God, Satan has no right to come to us at all. He's got no right. He cannot do anything against us. So why does it happen? And I believe this is the key. We give this key to the enemy, and that's why he's attacking us. It says here, judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put in your lap. For the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. So if there's rejection, it will come back to you. Pressed down, running over, good measure. So when we reject or judge, we speak about other people, we leave a door open for the enemy to come against us. And when we are critical and we say, those people are doing it wrong and this one has done that and this one has done that and I'm upset with this and that church is doing this. And I realize when we judge God's church, we open the door to be speaking against all people that is used by God because he's the judge. We are not the judge. If one of my friends drink and get drunk and they sleep with someone else, from scripture, I can say you're in sin. Don't do that. There's a difference there as well. But we can speak against people because of a heart that is broken. And I believe this is where the root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and many become defiled. And then therefore we fail to obtain the grace of God. We fail to obtain the grace of God because of these things that is in our heart that I believe come from rejection because we've been hurt. We've been hurt and God loves us. And He wants to heal us, I believe with all my heart. So out of this pride that comes from rejection, we are stubborn and it's difficult to receive from others. There's resentment and I said judgment and anger and sarcasm. We are critical, we compare, we have favorites, jealousy, selfishness, envy, and racism. I believe the root for racism is rejection. And we prayed about the Boere, Gustav, but when we were in the concentration camps and our mothers, and they were given, he told about his great-grandmother who was given a broken glass in the sugar to eat, and she died from that. So there's all that pain and all that unforgiveness that came, and we it caused Afrikaner people to reject other people again. So many bad things, I believe, came through our generations because of that rejection that came to it. So, you know, when we are in judgment, we can be 100% wrong about what was done against us, other people's faults and weaknesses, and how they disappoint us. But love covers those weaknesses. Or are we going to talk about it to everyone that we know? Because God doesn't want us to judge. So what are we communicating when we're speaking to other people? So when you take a lemon and you squeeze the lemon, lemon juice come out. When we are being squeezed, what is coming out from us? And this is where I'm seeing that, you know, the heart is a tree and our words is the fruit. So what comes from our mouth is an indication of what's going on in our heart. So what I discovered in this one book about rejection, that I, if you're interested to read it, but that we can be rejected by God because of this principle, sow and you will reap. If you can just go to the next scripture, Hosea 4 verse 6 says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I reject you from being a priest to me. And since you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. You see that generational thing that goes there. So because I've rejected knowledge, God says, I reject you. Saul was rejected by God because he rejected the word of God. And Samuel said to him, God has rejected you. He had rejection when the woman sang, said, Saul killed thousands, but David killed 10,000s. There was rejection in his heart. So, but God is open to a humble and repentant heart. If you realize, this is me, come to Him. He says, come to me, you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. God wants to heal us from this thing that we can walk in the fullness of what God had called us for. I believe the next slide is that family is the key. Family is the key. Now, Ephesians 5 about husband and wife, and the husband represents the Jesus and the wife, the church. Family is the key. What happens in our family is, I believe, a representation of my relationship with God. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, for this is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land. Why is that one of the Ten Commandments? That we must honor our parents, that it may go long, that you have a long, that there's a promise and it may go well with you. Then it says specifically here to the fathers, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So what I'm experiencing is, people might have an amazing father, but they did never taught them in the ways of the Lord, in instruction, not to know scripture, but to know God. I ministered to a lady the other day, and when I picked up the Bible, she almost killed me. It was very close. I had to ask this one lady to protect me. I was very grateful that she was there. But what happened, she told us later on, when she was small, she would come to her father to get a hug, and her father would open the Bible and give her scripture. And she hated that. When even anyone picks up the Bible, so the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. It's person. It's the life. The Spirit is love. It's goodness. It's acceptance. And if someone is not ready to hear Scripture, they're ready to hear love. There's no defense against love. No one can defend when they're being loved. No one can resist that. We're all being drawn in when we are being loved. So I realized if we don't honor our parents, I believe this is an open door. If we've been rejected and there's hatred in our hearts or resentment in our hearts or judgment or there's pain in our hearts or disappointment against our parents, we cannot honor them. So if we're not honoring them, I believe this is where Satan can come in and really hurt us, that we do not walk in the fullness of what God had called us, because this, I believe, is the key, is to honor our parents. If we reject our father and mother, we reject a spirit of sonship. And as I said earlier, God only deals with sons. He doesn't deal with orphans. Scripture says, the heart of sonship is a heart that has learned to honor all people. So blessings are promised if we honor our parents. Husbands' prayers are answered when they honor their wives. Favor with God is given when we honor those in authority. See why our civilization is so taking strain. Everyone is speaking against Jacob Zuma. We're not honoring our leaders. So I believe a whole generation is orphans. I'm going to stand on toes now, but I believe this is why so many people have tattoos. It's an orphan generation. It is acceptance. It's not we're seeking our acceptance in something because we have not met with God the Father. If your tattoos bless you, but I believe God and God loves you. I believe God loves all of us. But God wants to bring us to a point where we are whole in Him so that He can use us and bless us. So what does Satan do? He wants to destroy the relationship between husband and wife, because a house divided against itself cannot stand. When he brings division between husband and wife, the children are open for rejection and he can come in and he can hurt our children. And I believe it with many of us, it has happened as we were growing up, and we grew up with pain in our hearts, not knowing where it is. So I just, from this, I believe the key is for the husband, and that the husband is the one who sets the atmosphere in the house. It's not the wife. It's the husband. If the husband is happy, the house will be happy. If the husband is depressed, the house will be depressed. The way we are, the wife and the children will respond to that. I remember we still lived in Bailey Manor, and I came home, and they would sit in the kitchen, and the kitchen was next to the garage, and I would open the door, and I could see Lynette and the boys sitting on this, waiting for me to come in. If I came in like this, their faces dropped. If I came in like, wow, they all went that. And I realized, and God spoke to me this, that I determined the atmosphere in the house. So for us husbands, if your marriage is taking strain, the husbands must learn to love their wives as they love themselves. And what it means, just in short, we must learn to fill our wife's tank. If her tank is full, then she will do well. The children will do well. So husbands, focus on your wives, to love them, to hear what is their needs. How can we support them? Out of that, I believe our children will do well, because we as husbands are whole. It makes it very difficult, however, if the wives do this to us. So wives, come to God and allow God to do healing in you as well. Malachi says that the hearts of the fathers will turn to the sons, and the hearts of the children will turn. But I believe we've got to become sons so the hearts can turn. There's both, because it doesn't turn to the orphan, it turns to the sons. Who are we? In Romans, the next scripture there, in Romans 8, verse 15. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. I believe this is the orphan spirit. But we have received the spirit of adoption. So So God adopts us as children by whom we can say, Abba, Father. We can call him Father, Dad. Our acceptance is in him. Our trust is in him. Our hope is in him. Our purpose and promise is in God. We know that. It's not like a fear that it will not happen. Why? The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Inside us, there's not a doubting, there's a knowing that who I am in God, that God is in control. Doesn't matter what happens in this world, God is good and God is in control. I can walk in that. I know what God had called me. Then he says, our spirit bears witness that we are children of God, and if children, we are heirs, and heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. So when we go through suffering, I believe God is taking the orphan out of us. He's taking the Egypt out of us because he uses this thing to help us to become whole before him so that we can walk into the promised land. Because we are saved, because we have given our hearts to the Lord, because we surrender to him, not what we're doing, because of what we confessed with our mouth and believed in our hearts, we are children of God. This is who God says we are. He says we are children of God. So because of the word, we are adopted into his family. We are joint heirs with him. We sit in heavenly places and we have authority over demons and sicknesses with Christ. We are blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ. We are the righteousness of Christ through faith. Thus we are being made right with God. We are entitled to a clean conscience before God because of the blood of Jesus, and full assurance of faith is given to us. Our sins have been removed from us as far as the west is from the east, and God chose not to think of it no more. We are loved with the same love that the Father had for Jesus. There are two fathers, the Father of lies and the Father of heaven. The Father of lies want to tell us that we are not good enough, that we are rejected, that we are bad, that we are shame and guilt and condemnation. That's what this Father of lies is wanting to put on us. You're not good enough. You will not make it. But the Father of heaven says, you are mine. You belong to me. You are significant in me. You have promise in me. You have acceptance in me. This is who we are in Christ by faith. That's what God has done. We cannot work to achieve it. We can just receive it. So in this, what do? We discover God's rest. To rest in God. Come to him, you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come and relax in him. You don't have to do anything for him. You don't have to be a cell leader. You don't have to do a marshal. You have to do nothing. You can just be, because we are children of God. You don't have to be the best whatever out there, because you're a child of God. God will make it happen. We don't have to force it. When God says it, he will do it. We don't have to work to attain it. It's done already. We must just walk into it because he has done it. So we can either walk in the joy of the Lord, or we can feel tense and agitated, striving and stressed. See the orphan versus what God has done for us already. But I believe God resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. So there's some humility that I believe the key is, because it's an orphan spirit, the way I believe we must respond to it, if it's one of you maybe, I believe many of us have it, struggle with it. We've got to extend forgiveness, adding on to what Heinrich preached last week, forgiveness to those who've hurt us. We've got to forgive. God, I forgive my father. I forgive. I forgive the bosses. I forgive all those people that I've not been chosen to be a lieutenant and now I had to be a corporal. Just one of my examples. All those things that you felt when you were rejected, we've got to forgive. And then out of that, and this is where a lot of humility will come from, is acknowledge our mistakes and sins to those who have hurt us. That we go to those who we have hurt, even if they were the perpetrator, but there were things that we've done to say, I'm sorry for what I've done. Because this thing is an orphan spirit, it says that you don't have parents. So what is it doing to you? It's trying to disconnect you with your earthly parents. How do you respond? Ask God to forgive your father where he wasn't there for you, where he hurt you, where he was absent, where he didn't come to to watch your game. Ask God to forgive him. Your mother, where she didn't nurture. Even ask him to show you, why didn't they do it? Because they've been hurt as well. They didn't know how to do it. They were struggling in their ways as well to do the best they can. So when we start understanding it, it's easy to forgive them. We forgive. We say, sorry, God, I forgive them. And I set them free and I release them. And then the outflow of that is, if they're still alive, you go to your parents and say, I am sorry how I treated you. When I was a rebel, I rebelled against you. When I came home drunk, when I was in matric, and all the stories that I've done, sorry, I forgive. I forgive. And see the reaction. I was, oh my word, what happened here? But I realized because rejection rejects others. If you feel rejected, you reject your father. And he doesn't come, and now he's like, what did I do wrong? I don't understand. What did I do wrong? But as soon as the child forgives, something breaks in the spirit. And this man says his dad, he went to his dad and he said to him, Dad, I want to ask you to forgive me that I was such a rebel. And his dad said, I will not forgive you unless you forgive me first. So they made up and it was really amazing. So he went to his mom and he said to his mom, Mom, I want you to forgive me. And she says, yes. What did I ever do to deserve this? You were such a bad boy. Wah, wah, wah. And nothing happened. I think 5 or 10 years later, I can't remember what happened. He went to her again because he was still struggling to get rid of this orphan thinking, spirit, mentality. And he said to his mom, I'm sorry. And she came again. Yes, what did I do to you and all of that? And then God gave him a word and he said, but you've hurt me. When you beat me up. She said, but I never beat you up. And then God released it to her. She said, but when you were drunk, every time you used to beat me up. And then she saw it and she started crying. And she realized that her boy became rebellious because she, when she was drunk, she used to hurt and beat up her child. And God could do reconciliation in this. This man had, in all his ministry, he couldn't go through. He couldn't go through to the next level because there was an issue between his father and mother that he kept resentment. He wasn't honoring them. So my message this morning is that forgiveness does not guarantee healing. Healing and forgiveness is two different things. Forgiveness we can do, but healing has got to do with trust. So if there's trust issues because of anger and intimacy that's been broken, God will heal those things. So the orphans will always speak about their own pain and the things it's done against them, where the sons can forgive and continue walking in the fullness and God can restore those things. So what I realized is you might do everything right, but there's things working against you that you cannot see and you don't understand it. I believe it could be a spiritual orphan spirit that works against you to hurt you because of there's an issue between you and your parents. And God wants us as a country, I believe, to make right that we will not distrust authority that's been given over us. Amen. Can I pray for us? I just want to give you the opportunity as we sit and just be still before God that maybe what I've spoken, the Holy Spirit have enlightened to you areas in your life where your father was absent, your mother didn't nurture you. So I want to ask you, just with your own, just take this time to forgive them and to bless them. And if they're not alive anymore, just to bless their memory and to release them and ask God to release the pain that's been given to you by them. Just use this time to forgive them. And if you feel there's not anything in your heart that you should, ask God. Just say, Lord, is there anything that I need to forgive my parents for? And just be still and wait, because God always speaks. And it might be a thought, and then respond to that thought. If your parents are still alive, pray for them. You know, many of us who are young and we became charismatics, we were critical against our parents and we told them they are religious and they should get baptized, and we were doing all those things, and many of those things came from a heart of judgment, of a resentment, a critical spirit. And if we've done those things, repent. So ask God to forgive you for that. If we had bitterness in our heart towards them, pray that He will forgive you in those areas as well. Where we've spoken against them, we discussed them with other people, and we've not honored them, ask God to forgive us in that. Maybe if God speaks to you, just to go to some of them and just go and pray and say, or just pray before, but and say, sorry, forgive me that I was so rebellious in school, or I was so absent, or I closed my heart to you because this is what happened. And trust God to restore those relationships in your life, and maybe even authority, where there was people who, it could be an aunt or uncle or someone that have hurt you, that you can just go and restore those relationships. And ask God, if there are people that you've hurt that have something against you still. Because God is the God, and He's a Father God, and He's about relationships, and He's about family. Even our brothers and sisters, that we can go to them and ask them to forgive us because we didn't support them or help them, or we spoke against them in our families. Ask God to show you, and ask Him the grace to go and respond to that, to go, because God is the God of reconciliation, and He's given us the ministry of reconciliation to reconcile us and people through the mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ, to the Father, because we belong to the Father. We are children of God. Thank you, Lord. And in this, let's just pray for our country, and we honor our leadership, the authority that's been placed above us, as Scripture says in Romans 13. Husbands, we've not honored our wives as the weaker vessels. Our prayers have not been answered. We ask God to forgive us. And after this, we go and say, sorry, I'm sorry. I didn't honor you. Forgive me. Because it brought an open door for our family to get hurt. And God had placed us to be the king and the prophet and the priest of our houses. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I'm just going to ask that we stand. We're going to sing, We Are No Longer Slaves. So as the song is finished, you are welcome to go. If anyone wants prayer, and I've asked if there's some of the fathers that just want to be, if you see people come forward and you see there are people that need prayer, if you can come just to release the blessing of the Father on people who feel they need to respond because they feel disconnected. and they want God to do something, but they need the help in this. So if we can just start, I just want to pray and release. God, I thank you for every person who is here, Lord, and thank you for the word, Lord. God, thank you that I believe this word is the one key, God, that you've given us to walk into freedom, Lord. And I pray that you'll give us the strength and the grace, Lord, to walk in love and honor, Lord, with all people, Lord, in Jesus' name. And God, thank you that we are no longer slaves, but we are children of God by faith in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.